Thanks so much. It's so lovely to be with you. You really don't want the accent like mine. It's way easier to understand a Canadian accent, that is for sure. So good morning, welcome to church, and thank you for welcoming me to church. I always love worshipping with other believers around Vancouver because it's you're just with people that you're not normally with, and it's great to worship with people that you're not normally with as well as the people that you normally are. So Avery, thanks for the invitation. It's great to be with you. I wonder if you've ever experienced a sense of chaos. Has anyone ever experienced that sort of sense? Maybe at work, where there's lots of really good and important things that all need to be done at the same time. Or maybe you have that sense of chaos where you hear about, as we've prayed, these unspeakable atrocities going on in Gaza that just seem to have no peaceful end in sight. Sometimes it feels chaotic to sort of be attentive to our own needs and also try to be attentive to the needs of others, either in friendship or in marriage or with your kids. Sometimes it feels chaotic when we hear about some political leaders thinking that they should have power over other people or other parts of land that's actually not theirs, or when you hear about ice caps melting or sea levels rising. I know your community is going through a lot of changes at the moment, and so things are feeling a little bit unstable, a little bit uncertain. That can kind of cause a feeling of chaos sometimes. If you weren't feeling chaotic before, maybe raising all those things, now you've got more things to feel chaotic about. But do you know, it's into all of these experiences of chaos and uncertainty and trouble in our world and in creation, in us communally and in us personally, that Psalm 46 speaks. Psalm 46 is a psalm of confidence that our God is present in chaos. Now, you probably know this, but the psalms were songs that God's people would sing together. And so the ancient Israelites, for them, their identity was more communal than individual. Their understanding of who they were was intimately tied to who they belonged. And so you see that communal identity kind of all throughout the psalm. Our refuge, we will not fear. God is with us, our fortress. And so I begin this way because I think Psalm 46 is a reminder to us and an invitation that in times of trouble and in times of chaos in our world or in our own lives, we need each other. We need the community of faith to declare with confidence the reality of God's presence. We need to do this with each other, and we need to do this for each other. It's an invitation for us to be more we than I, to kind of have a communal spirit, especially in times of instability, uncertainty, and chaos. Okay, let's have a look at some of the chaos that's described in Psalm 46. You'll see there's a bunch of word plays in there, where mountains are falling and kingdoms are falling. Waters are roaring and the nations are in uproar. In the ancient world, the mountains are a symbol of stability, of things not changing, of security, of permanence. And the waters are used as metaphors for chaos, where things are out of order. And so these words are poetic ways to describe everything that is stable giving way. A picture of utter chaos, creational and political chaos. But is paying attention to the chaos so closely the most helpful place for us to begin? Without a doubt, the Psalms do invite us to bring whatever we're experiencing to God. And so we can, and therefore, and we absolutely must name before God all the trouble and the chaos we experience. But sometimes I wonder if we begin there rather than beginning where the psalm begins, with a bold, faith-filled declaration of who God is. God is our strength and refuge, an ever-present help in trouble. Friends, how might we experience trouble and chaos if we begin here? Now, God's people were often under threat from the people around them, and so this idea of a refuge would have been quite familiar to them. It's this picture of safety and protection. And that phrase, ever-present, means time and time again, or well-proven. They'd seen God be their helper over and over and over again. But, and so that place of beginning with who God is orients the psalmist. And beginning with who God is can orient us. And beginning with who God is, I want to suggest, is going to impact how we experience trouble and chaos. Now, declaring that God's a refuge is essentially an assumption and a recognition that trouble is absolutely going to come. And it does. You know it and I know it. And when it does, where do you turn? For security, for safety, for soothing? Mindless scrolling, Netflix, overworking, or some other kind of distraction, thinking that the refuge might be found there. The psalmist begins with who God is because actually in God is the safest place to be. God has all the resources of the world at his fingertips. God can and will help us. So the psalm begins with who God is and then goes on to tell us where God is. God is right there in the middle of all of it. God just keeps showing up. In verse 1, God is ever present. In verse 4, the one who dwells. In verse 5, the city is the place that is described that God is within. In verse 7, God is the one who is with us. And then just to make it really clear, in verse 11, the Lord Almighty is with us. Like the very structure of the psalm itself, God is right there in the middle of all the chaos. A few years ago, I was in New York. Has anyone ever been to New York? A few people? A couple? Okay. So while we were there, my friends and I thought, okay, we're going to get the quintessential New York experience. We're going to get one of those like meat sandwiches that are like a million, you know, this high, right? So from a little local deli, we're going to try and really give it a go and then take them to Central Park for lunch. The deli was full of people, and there were all sorts of rules that I did not know how to follow. So I lined up in the wrong spot, I ordered in the wrong spot, I paid in the wrong spot, I waited in the wrong spot. Like, it was totally chaotic, and it was a chaotic experience. So anyway, we get our sandwiches, and then we walk to Central Park. And if you know New York, you know that that park is not outside the city or somewhere where you need to drive a long way from the city. But Central Park is right in the middle of the city. Central Park is present in the middle of New York. And in Psalm 46, our refuge offering God is present right in the middle of the chaos. The psalmist doesn't say God will be your refuge or has promised to be your refuge, but that God is a refuge right within the present circumstance. Not an ever-present help from trouble, but an ever-present help in it. Now, I wonder if sometimes we pray that God would take us out of trouble. And there is nothing wrong with praying that. Nothing at all. The psalmists do it all the time. God's people do it all the time. But I wonder if the psalm is an invitation to know God's presence in the trouble as we wait for deliverance from it. As we keep reading, the psalmist says, "There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall." What's happening there? It kind of seems to come out of nowhere initially. It's actually another description of presence, because the city that's being described is the city of Zion. Zion is the place where the temple is located. The temple is the place where the Israelites knew that God's presence was located, this place where the Most High dwells. And then there's the stability of the city being contrasted with the instability all around. So unlike the mountains and the kingdoms that are falling, this city will not fall. The roaring and destructive waters of chaos are contrasted with a river whose streams nourish the city. It's a metaphor to describe the spiritual sustenance that the presence of God provides. And then as those streams, those living waters flow out from Zion, they bring nourishment to the community of faith and then to the world. It's a picture of blessing that comes from experiencing God's presence and refuge. Now, Jesus was born at a time of political chaos. And when he was born, he's called Emmanuel, which means God with us. And as he ascends to the Father, he says, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. So friends, in Christ, we see God's unwavering commitment to being with us as God becomes like us and to experience everything of what it means to be human. And by the Spirit, we then experience God's unwavering commitment to staying with us in everything that we experience as human beings. God is with us in Christ and by the Spirit. And so if that's true, then how might that change our experience of trouble and chaos in our own world and in our own lives? I think the psalm offers us three different ways that it might impact our experience of trouble and chaos. Firstly, that we will not fear. That's so bold. That's so confident. It's like as if the logical implication of God's presence means we will not fear. But we do. We fear all kinds of things. We fear being lonely. We might fear disappointing our parents. We might fear not getting into the right school. We might fear illness or a limitation or death or something of some kind. But Psalm 46 says, because God is a place of refuge and because God is ever present, then we can face even fear-inducing situations without fear. Secondly, we're invited to come and see what God has done. In verse 8, the psalmist says, come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he's brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Why would you want to be invited to come and see the desolations that the Lord has brought on the earth? Like why would we be invited to do that? It's important to recognize here that the talk of desolation is not God looking for a fight. Rather, God is looking to stop the fighting. God can make wars cease. And so this invitation is for Israel to come and see and to remember who God is in their history and what God has done in creation. And friends, we're invited to come and see as well, to see who God is and where God is in the pages of Scripture and in the person of Jesus. And we're invited to come and see who God is and where God is in the pages and in the stories of our own lives and in the lives of each other, to cultivate a conscious awareness of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And we're invited to remember the places where God keeps on showing up and to pay attention to the places where we really need God to show up and to remember the times where God has been an ever-present help and to pay attention to the situations where we really need God's help. And this is where we need one another to help us see the work of God in our own lives, especially when it's too chaotic to see it and feel it ourselves. What might it look like for your community to be a come and see kind of people? And the third thing that comes from God's presence is this invitation to be still and to know that God is God. And this is where I want us to spend just the remainder of our time. Within all the chaos in Psalm 46, we hear God speaks. And when God speaks, something always happens. Now, I think I've only ever had the experience of really unmistakably hearing the voice of God in a very particular part in my life, maybe two or three times. I've sensed God speak in other ways, but that very, very particular way. One of them was about a year ago. At that time, I was burning out, big time. And the only words I had to describe it were that I was weary in body and soul. I took an unplanned, sudden leave from my job. I withdrew from other responsibilities. I just needed deep rest, and I didn't really even know what that meant. I wonder if any of you resonate with that feeling. While I was off, I spent some time sort of prayerfully reviewing the last couple of years, and COVID was in that, of course, and it had felt kind of like a really chaotic couple of years. And I used this ancient prayer practice called the examine. So some of you might know that. But as part of this practice, you're invited to bring all your emotions and lay them kind of in God's presence. Just be totally honest, like the psalmists always do. And what had become clear was that I had experienced lots and lots and lots of disappointments. Some of them were really big. Some of them were kind of seemingly insignificant. Some of them felt kind of deep, and some of them felt kind of not so deep. Brené Brown, who's a researcher, she says, disappointments are maybe like paper cuts. But if those cuts are deep enough, or we accumulate them over a long period of time, they can leave us seriously wounded. And that just felt like it described me, lots and lots and lots of paper cuts of big and small things. And so then at the point in this prayer, I was invited to then listen to the voice of Jesus as I've presented all these like litany of disappointments, and to see what Jesus might say into those disappointments. And I sense Jesus say, I'm disappointed too. That encounter with God, in whose presence I could name and feel my disappointments, and who feels them with me, both validated and began to change the impact of those disappointments. Within all the trouble that's happening in Psalm 46, God speaks. And when God speaks, something always happens. Now, it's important for us to recognize that these words, while they bring great comfort to us, they're actually not first and foremost directed to our souls. They're actually directed to something much larger and something that is much harder to still. These words in the psalm are directed to creation and to the nations. To be still and know that I am who I am. Now, I wonder if you're a reader of the Bible, I wonder if this story reminds you of another story. The story of a man who's with his friends on a lake in a boat, and they find themselves in the middle of a storm. And the man gets up and says, quiet. Be still. The God who is with us in Psalm 46 is the same one who's with the disciples in the boat. The God who lifts his voice and the earth melts is the same one who, when he lifts his voice, the wind and the waves obey. The God who says, be still to the warring nations and the roaring waters in Psalm 46 is the same one who says, be still to the storm. And so while that whole be still and know that I am God is the most familiar part of the verse and almost the most familiar part of the whole psalm, it's actually only half the verse. The second part doesn't get as much attention. I'm not sure why. But even though it's the continuation of God speaking, he goes on to say, I will be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. To be exalted means to be like what we were praying before and singing before. That God would be lifted high, to be elevated. So God is absolutely with us in the chaos, 100%. And God is absolutely above and elevated and exalted high above the chaos. So both the nations and the earth, which were chaotic, are now used to exalt God. And so the people can relax. knowing that God is the God of creation and the God of history. In Psalm 46, God's saying to the nations, be still and know that I am God. And to the earth, be still and know that I am God. In the boat, Jesus is saying, be still to the wind and the waves. And implicitly saying, and know that I am God to the disciples. And friends, in the same way, God says to us, be still and know that I'm with you in all this creational, international, communal, and personal chaos. And this same God says to us, be still and know that I am above all of this creational, international, communal, and personal chaos. As I close this morning, I want to invite us to do something together. It may be something that you've done before, it might be new to you, but my hope is that it might help us cultivate something of an awareness of the presence of God for ourselves and for our world. So I want us to use this psalm to help us pray in a way for us to embody the truth of what God is inviting us into, as a way to help us slow down and to become more aware that God is God. So I'm going to pray one verse, that verse, really slowly. And it's going to get shorter and shorter and shorter as we go. So if you feel comfortable to do so, I want to invite you to close your eyes. And if that's uncomfortable, just find a focal point on the floor. And before I do, I want you to just take three really big, deep breaths. I'll leave some silence in between each one. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am. Be still and know. Be still. Be. At the end of the Bible, we read this. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, the dwelling place is now among the people. God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Friends, my prayer is that you may know the presence of God in everything that you experience, and that the hope of God's presence into eternity would bring great confidence and comfort to creation, to the nations, and into our souls. Amen.